Good morning. So this morning, I know we can do that for quite a while, right, as we gather. But today we're going to start talking about love where you live. And that's why I sort of hate stopping what we are doing, because that's a way of loving where we live, is just by greeting each other and sharing love with each other. But we're going to start the series as we talk about this fall. And the whole idea of this, of loving where you live, is what if Jesus was truly serious when he said, love your neighbor as yourself? I mean, what if he really meant that when he said that to us? If he really meant to love your neighbor as yourself, the people that are next door to you, the people that are around you, the people that you see, your family, your friends, and the people right here in this church. What if he really meant that? And what if he really meant when Paul said, from one man God created all nations throughout the earth, and he determined their boundaries, we understand that you were placed where you are, in the house that you're in the apartment you're in the place that you're in, not by just some happenstance, but because God placed you there for a specific purpose. Amen. And that is to love your neighbors. To reach out to them and to love them. To go across the street and to meet those people you've never talked to. To actually love the people that are right around you. And I find this to be extremely difficult here in California. You know why? All of our houses are surrounded by what? Walls. In the Midwest, that is not the case. When we were out in our backyards, as Cheryl and the girls and I lived in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, when we were out in our backyards, our neighbors were out there too. And guess what? They saw us and they came over, or we'd go over there. But here, because we all wall ourselves off, this idea of loving your neighbor is extremely difficult. But your neighbor is what God calls us to. That we are called first to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. If you can move the slides, please, because the remote is not down here. It would be great if we really understood this, right? That the first commandment that God gives us is to love him with everything that we have. But he doesn't stop there. What does he say? To love our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, he mentions that phrase, by the way, about 7 times in Scripture. And if you take a look at really what's happening, and you can move it to the next slide, you can see that truly loving your neighbor as yourself is something that is extremely important. But we tend to sort of make that phrase to be just something that rolls off our tongues. It's a good catchphrase. It's a good thing that we say, but do we truly mean it when we say it? Do we truly know what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves? Do we truly find time in our lives to do this? Do we have the courage to do it? Do we actually put it in practice? See, we tend to let it roll off our tongues so easily. Our tongues so easily because it just is a catchphrase that is out there. Yeah, we love our neighbor as ourselves, but what does that really mean? I mean, just imagine, though, for one second with me, what would happen if all of us actually lived life that way? A lot of life's problems, the serious issues in our culture, I think they'd actually be gone. A lot of the serious things that we see in our society that are the biggest issues we face each and every day, a lot of those issues I don't think would be there if we truly took what God said seriously and we lived our lives loving our neighbor as ourselves. Instead, we tend to be so self-focused on ourselves. We tend to focus everything on me and our neighbors and the people we see around us. Well, if I have time, maybe I'll engage. It's a very hard thing for us to do. And the question that many people ask is, why should I love my neighbor as myself? Why should I do it? Some of you may be sitting there thinking that right now. Why should I actually do this? And I'll give you the answer my dad would say. As my father, he would say, because I said so. See, that's what God the Father is saying to us. Because when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, this isn't a suggestion. This is a commandment. It's an imperative in the scriptures. It is him saying to us, no, you don't, this is not something I'm suggesting to you as my child, my son and daughter. I'm suggesting you love your neighbor as yourself if you have time. No, God is actually saying, this is my commandment to you. Love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And two, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And there's no question about it that he's saying, this is not an option for us. If we are his children, this is not an option. This is a commandment. See, God's love is so far beyond anything we can imagine, though. And so, yes, we could say live by the commandment, but I want you to actually be motivated by something else. I want you to be motivated because of the love that he shared with us. I mean, to begin with, to begin to love your neighbor as yourself, you need to know two things. You need to know what love is, and then you need to know that you are loved. The Bible tells us this from 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins. See, Jesus and God the Father demonstrated love to us first. A propitiation is sort of a conciliatory act done by someone. It's when two parties are so separated that what happens is one party just says, you know what? I'm going to leave my position and do something for you to try to reestablish things. And see, that's where we were. We were alienated from God, separated because of sin. And Jesus is the one who actually stepped up and said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give my life for you so that you could know you're forgiven, so that you can truly understand what love is all about, so that you can see me rise on the third day and know that you truly have eternal life. See, you are the object of love, of this love that God showed to us by sending his Son into this world to live that life we couldn't live, to die on the cross so that we don't have to worry about his punishment, and to rise again on the third day so that we could know we have eternal life with him. See, that's how much he loves you, is that he gives all of that for you. And see, knowing this and understanding this is imperative. It's not just love in a general kind of way, but it's a deep love that is unconditional love that is given to you and to me. See, we have to first tap into this understanding first before we can actually go out and love our neighbors as ourselves. He's the source of our love. It is the Spirit working in us that fills us with his love. See, God loved us even before Jesus died on the cross for us. God loved us so much that he did everything he could for us. And the God the Father is the source of all love. And before we can give love to someone else, we have to first receive it ourselves and understand how much God loves you. You can't give what you don't have. I mean, just think for a moment how much God must love you to do everything he does for you. Just think for a moment and let it sink into your heart to know how much God truly loves you, that he sent his one and only Son for you. If it was just you, he would have done it. If it was just you, he would have given everything for you. I mean, let that sink in for just a minute. He let nothing stand in his way. In fact, Jesus gave everything that he was for you out of love for you. And Scripture tells us about this love. We can go through a lot of scriptures, but just a few I picked out are these that you'll see on the screen. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. From 1 John chapter 3, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. See, God lavished His love on us. And because of that love, we can actually then let it overpour to others around us. Then the text that was read also earlier: but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Think about those phrases just for a second. Let it sink in that you are a chosen race, that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. See, it is amazing when we understand the love that God has showered upon us, how He views us now as a holy nation, a royal priesthood, as something of His choosing, that it says we are His what? His possession. His own possession. He loves us that much. Contrast that to how we typically love people in this world. Most of the time, I think in this world, we love people who are like us, sort of like clones. They look like us, they act like us, they live like us. See, we typically love people who are like us, who we think we see things as good, or we get things that are good from them. I mean, look around the room. It's pretty generally all of us look alike. I mean, we tend to love people who look like us, who act like us, who believe what we believe. But God calls us to something completely different. See, love is not some transaction. God came to us with, we had nothing to give to Him, and He shared His love with us, not expecting anything from us at all. In fact, there was nothing that we could do. But in this world, we tend to live as though the love that we give out, we expect something in return. But God calls us to live differently than the rest of the world lives. That we are new in baptism. We are a new creation, and we live different than everyone else. And so loving difficult people is what we actually are called to do. And those difficult people may be someone sitting right by you. But loving difficult people is what we are called to do. Not just love those who are just like us, but to love everyone in this world. And it's not just to like them. We are called to love them. There's a huge difference there. Remember, what's the example for love? It's Jesus Christ, where He gave everything for us. See, so no matter who that other person is, no matter what their circumstance is, no matter what they're struggling with, no matter what they look like, we are supposed to give everything we can to love them, just as Jesus did for us, no matter how difficult they are. See, it's interesting as we see this, and then we get to this text for today from Luke chapter 10, which is the story of the Good Samaritan. Because I think this actually helps clarify what God is saying to us when He says, love your neighbor. Because this text comes right after His statement that He says to the lawyer. He says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, also then love your neighbor. But then he says this parable. And I invite you to read this with me. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." That's a great text. And we could spend probably a full hour or more just going through all the details of this text, but we don't have time to do that. But what I want you to notice is there are different roles that we could put ourselves in here. The first thing we could do is put ourselves in the role of the lawyer, the one who wants to test Jesus, where we would actually say to ourselves and say to Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Wanting to sort of get out of helping those people that we see, but we don't really want them to call them our neighbor. Trying to trick Jesus and say, "Well, my neighbor, I can justify that how I want. I can label them the people I want to label my neighbor, and the others I can just forget about." I want to test Jesus a little bit. See, we could put ourselves in that role, but I don't think that's the focus of the text. As we look at it, we could put ourselves in the role of the priest or the Levite as well, right? The one who actually was so holy and so pious that as he walked by and he saw the man there, what did he do? He crossed the street and walked on the other side so that he would not become unclean. Because a Levite, a priest at that time, could not become unclean. If he had touched someone who was in that state, he would not be able to do the things that he needed to do at the altar. And so therefore he said, "I can't do that. I'm too good. I'm not going to dirty myself, so I'm going to pass by on the other side and just let the man sit." See, we could put ourselves in that place and say, you know, God doesn't call us to do it, but we know that that's not right. We could put ourselves also in the place of the Samaritan. The Samaritan who, by the way, was thought to be the worst bit of society. People that no one wanted to associate with because of their cruelty and how evil they were and how dirty they thought they were. But yet, who is the hero of the story? The Samaritan, who came and saw the man in need and cared for him. In fact, he didn't just care for him. What did he do? He gave him his possessions and what he had to make him better. He actually found him, put him on his own donkey, which he was probably willing riding up to that point maybe, and actually put him on it and brought him to the inn, made sure he was taken care of, and actually paid money to make sure he was going to be taken care of. See, the Samaritan, as it's the title of this whole thing, is the Good Samaritan. He did what we think as loving your neighbor as yourself is what we should be doing. But we could also put ourselves as the robber. The guy who was beaten and robbed, who was lying there on the side of the street. See, I think that's actually what this parable is meant to say. This parable is actually meant to be a gospel message to us, the good news, to reinforce what Jesus is saying about loving your neighbor and understanding the love that he shared with us. Because if you read the story, we are the ones that are truly broken and beaten and laying on the side of the road. We are the ones that are broken because of our sin. We are the ones that are sitting there and can't do anything for ourselves. And yet Jesus, the Good Samaritan, the one that no one expected to be the king, is the one who comes by and swoops us up and takes care of us. Jesus is the one who, as though we were half dead on the road, actually comes and refuses to see us as his enemy and actually saves us. See, this is a story about love, of sacrifice, of behavior that is not the norm. Behavior that is shown to us by Jesus. See, Jesus became the Good Samaritan for us. He laid down his life, befriended us while we were still enemies, promises us full restoration and eternal life with him. And we say, Lord, make us more like him. Make us more like him so that we can live a life that is more like his, so that we can go and do likewise. See, we are the beaten one on the road, half dead. But God is the one who picks us up out of that ditch and gives us life. See, when we grasp this, when we grasp the true and deep love for us that God has for us, there is no other outcome than us, in turn, loving others and all others. There is no one that is excluded from this command. This is truly a life that is led by the Spirit, who leads us to live a transformed life that is different from anything else in this world, that we are supposed to be different from the people around us. And as it says in Scripture as well from John 13, that they will know that we are his disciples by what? Our love for one another. See, we are supposed to be where people look at us as Christians here at Our Saviors and go, I can't believe the love they show to this community. I can't believe the love they show to one another. I can't believe the love they show to every person in this community, no matter who they are. That is just an amazing thing, and I don't see that anywhere else. But I see it here, and there has to be something different about them. That everyone would know that we are his disciples because of our love. That's the message Jesus is giving. And that's the call that he gives to us. And I would ask you that, what if this fall we love to show our neighbors, we showed our neighbors the love in tangible ways that they couldn't miss? What if this fall all of us here at Our Saviors showed love to our neighbors in a tangible way? And we went out and actually showed people the love that we have for this community and for the people in it. What would happen? We wouldn't be known as just another church. Maybe the people that we hear that says they used to go to Our Saviors would suddenly go, you know what, I want to be part of that. Maybe people who don't know Jesus would say, why are they doing that? And suddenly they would understand the love of Jesus because of what we are able to share with them, and they would come to faith. See, Jesus calls us to love where we live. And that means the people that are right here in the pews with us, that we are supposed to love each other in ways that are only done because of the work of the Spirit. That we could only show love to one another that is so amazing that it is not something we can do on our own. That we would show that love to every person that we run into in this community. That we would be started with maybe just those people who God has placed right around us. And so this week, what I encourage you to do is grab a card. There's just a 3x5 index card that I have for you standing on the, or sitting on the stand on the way out by the baptismal. grab that card and bring it home. Keep it in your pocket or somewhere handy. And all week, just look to see how God is showing you love and blessing this week. Notice how he is loving you first. And hopefully out of that will flow love to others as well. So join me as we love where we live this fall and truly try to show the love that God has shared with us so that they would know that we are his disciples. It is in his name and to the glory of God that we pray. Amen.